Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Thank you for joining us on the Beacon Broadcast as we continue our study of the final verse in Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Galatians 6:18, which says, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Here is a benediction, a blessing from God, pronounced upon the people of God. And where is this blessing primarily targeted? Where is the focus of this blessing? It is, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, upon your spirit. "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Your spirit, not with things physical primarily, your outward life, your bodily things, things that relate to health, things that relate to wealth. No, not things that relate to your success upon the earth, but the things that relate to your soul, your spirit, the things that relate to your relationship to God, the things that will outlive life and last for eternity. The things that you will take with you when you leave this world and go to be with the Lord forever. And that reality, the reality of your divine life, begins when you have been born again. And it starts upon the earth and then it continues on throughout eternity. And so there is an inward part of you, renewed by the Spirit of God, which needs very much to have the blessing of God upon it. Though in a very real sense, of course, it already has. But then that's true of every part of our lives. We are all blessed, but we all desire to be more greatly blessed. But Paul said, "I'm going to pronounce this blessing upon your spirit, your inward man, that part of you that has, by the work of God's Spirit, been enabled to receive the Word of God and to understand it, that part of you which, by the work of the Spirit of God, has been enabled to appropriate the promises of God, to believe them for your own benefit. I'm praying that God will bless your spirit so that you can receive more of God's word, even as you have received some of it. I'm praying that God will bless your spirit so that you will be able to appropriate more of the promises of God, even as you have appropriated some of them. I'm praying for God to bless your spirit so that you will be drawn into greater communion with the living God. I'm praying for God to bless your spirit so that you will be sustained in the midst of earthly difficulties. I'm not praying for God to remove the difficulties. I'm not praying for God to give you perfect health and to give you a large measure of wealth and comfort and ease and prosperity and outward blessing, blessing as the world considers blessing. I'm not praying that for you, brethren. I'm praying that God will bless your spirit so that when you suffer poor health, you will be sustained. When you suffer impoverishment, you will be sustained. When you suffer persecution, you will be sustained. When you suffer great trials and difficulties and pains and hardships, you will be sustained and filled with the presence of Christ and filled with joy in knowing that it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. I am praying that your spirit may be preserved unto the day of our final glorification with Christ." What's the matter with Paul that he prays a benediction like this? "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." What's the matter with Paul? He must not have heard the great televangelists of our day, the great popular preachers of our day that promise people your best life now and God's blessings upon all of your earthly and material and physical circumstances, which, of course, is exactly what carnal minds want to hear. I say, is exactly what carnal minds want to hear. The natural man doesn't want anything of God's blessing upon his spirit. The spirit has to do a work upon his spirit before he'll even understand the need for blessings upon his spirit and desire it at all. The carnal man doesn't have any desire to be sustained in the midst of difficulties. He wants the difficulties removed. No ill health for me, thank you. No impoverishment for me, thank you. No difficulties and trials for me, thank you. I want all those things to be removed. The natural man couldn't understand any reason why he ought to serve God unless God is going to remove those things from him. But the true children of God, those who have been constituted spiritual by the work of the regenerating Spirit of God in their souls, in other words, those who have been born again, have a different perspective, and it's time that we understand that perspective and realize Paul gave very little attention to the outward things. And Paul wasn't concerned that they be preserved in the outward man. Brethren, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And this, as we've already pointed out, has been directed to believers, and that's specifically indicated by that word brethren. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Not everybody, brethren. Those, of course, who are true believers in Jesus Christ, who have already been born again. This, by the way, is the only benediction of Paul to include that word brethren. And in the original Greek, it's actually the last word in the sentence, except for the word amen. In my translation, it's put forward first. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. But the original reads more like, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. That final brethren, which is a final reminder of Paul's love for the brethren and his true heart connection to the Galatian believers that he has had to warn and even scold as he admonished them to be careful not to be drawn away by a counterfeit gospel, but nevertheless he loves them, and here he calls them his brethren. And furthermore, many of the Galatian believers had apparently become very critical of Paul, having been prodded into it by the Judaizers, the false teachers, and they had become very disloyal to the very one that God had used to bring them to faith in Christ. But Paul still calls them brethren. No matter what they think of him, he's going to call them his brethren. No matter how they criticize him, he's going to call them his brother. No matter how they might reject him, he's still going to call them his brothers in Christ. In our sloppy way of thinking today in Christianity, we are inclined to consider any rebuke or any correction as a lack of love. But this puts that lie to rest, or it ought to put it to rest. Does God never rebuke us? Does God never correct his children? Does God fail to love us? Of course, we know the answer to those questions. Would that be true of human parents? Human parents who rebuke and correct their children, is that proof that they don't love them? Actually, the Bible teaches the opposite. Namely, if you refuse to correct them, if you refuse to chasten them when they need it, then that's proof that you don't really love them. You may have some kind of sentimental attachment to them, but you don't really love them. And so, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brethren, brethren, a good reminder of our position in the communion of the saints. Brethren, we're in this together in the body of Christ, with other members of the body. A reminder of how precious this relationship is, this relationship to Christ and this relationship to others who belong to Christ. And we need to recognize how precious this is and resist the assaults of Satan, who wants to damage that relationship, We need to value it. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the visible church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about our relationship with brethren that we know, not the hypothetical ones that we know are out there that we don't know, but the ones that we know, and the wonderful relationship that we have with one another, a relationship that needs to be cultivated, not diminished. We need to resist the temptation to diminish and undermine and damage the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in its visible expression. And Paul ends it up with an amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We recognize that as a final statement. So be it. But we need to realize through this whole thing, and I'll say a little bit more about the amen in a moment, we need to realize that our greatest need is for the grace of God. That's what Paul wishes upon them. Not money, not health, but God's grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And therefore, we should seek our greatest blessings in the grace of God. Just ask Him to pour out His grace in whatever form He knows is most needed in our lives. And how do we do that? Humble ourselves before Him, because the Bible tells us God resists the proud, but what? Gives grace to the humble, James 4:6. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. We need, therefore, to be alert for areas of destructive pride in our lives. We need to ask God to show them to us, because we can be so blind. We need to accept gratefully from God those trials that are designed by God to humble us so that we can receive more grace. We need to acknowledge regularly our need before the throne of grace, so be called because it is the throne where God bestows His grace. We go to Him to receive that grace that we need. We need to feel our impoverished condition so that we might sense our need for God's grace, and that we might seek it from Him at the throne of grace, that we might plead for His grace. O Lord, Thy mercy show, we need to pray every day. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. What more could be said? That's a good place to put the amen. The closing word of this great epistle about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Amen. I hope you say amen when you pray. I hope you say amen when you pray in the assembly of the saints, and I would advocate that. Sometimes people are in the habit of, when they're praying and they expect someone else to pray after them, to not say amen, waiting for the last person to say the amen. But actually, we need to say amen every time so that people will know that we're done with our prayer so the next person can begin. Otherwise, they don't know whether we just paused and may not be quite finished. We need to say the amen. That means I'm done. And this means Paul's done. He's done with this epistle. He's done with his exposure of the false teachers. He's done with his defense of the gospel of grace. He's done equipping the Galatians to cling to the truth of the gospel. If they will hear what he says, they will be greatly blessed. If they do not receive what he says, they will not be blessed. And so those who hear it, receive this final benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. And I add my amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you as well. Good day. May God give you His peace.